builds godly character. Come loud now. It builds godly character to become more like Christ. If we do not persevere, it's not building a godly character trait in our lives. You see how people nowadays, they don't want to persevere. When things get tough, the government comes up with these laws and change things to make it, it's always prospering. Well, we need to tax them harder so everybody's poor, so everybody's fair. But change things. It changed the goal line. But God says, you persevere and I will honor you. I will make you prosper. Prosper in a way of knowing him more deeply, more richly. When we persevere, we actually get some dirt underneath our nails. It builds character, godly character. We can, right? As we build character, God honors that. We become more like Christ. And not only so, but we also glory in tribulations. Difficulties. Tribulations, they're difficulties. We will face things in this world because it is a fallen world. Satan is the ruler of this world. He rules this place. The Church of Christ is the ones that we are supposed to be praying and sharing the truth of the gospel. And we wait patiently for the coming of our Lord, that we meet him in the clouds. So we persevere by doing what God has placed on our hearts to be doing for him while we wait for his return. Or we until he meets us, until we meet him in the air. His return is the second coming. That's a difference. So perseverance. What's James 5, 7 to 11? James 5, 7 to 11. Caitlin? Okay. So James 5, 7 to 11.
Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door, as an example of suffering and patience. Take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, to consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful.
Job went through a lot of trials. You think about Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. You look at how many other prophets in the Old Testament went through difficulties. How many followers of apostles and stuff in the New Testament went through difficulties. I could name all of them. All of them went through difficulties. Jesus went through difficulties, but yet never sinned. And what kept them focused when they were going through the difficulties? Promises of God. Praising God. You think about when they're in prison, the two apostles were in prison and they're chained up. Right? And what did they start doing in the prison? Start praising God. And what happened? Chains fell off. Doors are opened up. God set them free. So when we are going through some difficulty and we're having tribulations in our life, do we praise God? It's hard. Honestly, it's hard to praise God through difficulties. But as we look at Scripture, we see them praising God and making saying, this is what I will be doing, Lord. I'm going to praise you no matter what. I'm going to pray to you, continue to look to you. No matter what may seem happening in this realm, but I know spiritually you're breaking things. And I know, and we're in a spiritual battle. We don't see everything. So through difficulties and tribulations, we praise God. Lord, thank you that I could praise you today. I thank you, Lord, that you're setting me free today. I thank you, Lord, that you're my hope and my strength. You're my comforter. You're my joy. You're my everything. And I'm going to praise you until the day that you come and get me. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to stand for the truth. I'm not going to back down. Lord, I know it's going to cost me something when I stand up for the truth of the gospel. I might lose friends. People might think I'm a weirdo. But I'm doing this because you have called me to stand and be different. He's calling us to be different. He's calling us to be living holy and righteous lives before him. We're supposed to be different than how those people who do not know Christ. It's a high calling. To live as a believer in Christ, a follower of Christ, it's not for the faint of heart. Truly, it's not for the faint of heart. People who do not really have a heart for the Lord will fall away. They were never saved. They never trusted him. They never put their hope and trust in him fully. That's why there's only going to be a remnant of true believers. What's 1 Corinthians 15, 57 to 58? 1 Corinthians.
But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
The work in the Lord is not in vain. What you do for the Lord, it's not earning salvation. It's doing the work that the Lord has put on your heart. And it's actually showing your love for him. That's why I share the truth of the gospel. To be steadfast. Be immovable. Steadfast and immovable. Can you think of, you ever play football? You ever play football? You ever play rugby? But it's all about stance. If your feet are like this, you're going to get knocked over. But if you're standing, footed, and you can take good hits, steadfast, immovable. It's hard to move somebody, right? If you're immovable, you can take it. God's the one who helps you and strengthens you for that. So we're surely in a difficult time right now. There's fear and uncertain times around us. And I don't know when Steve and I were talking about this. We talk about how there's this Chinese balloon floating around. And we get all worried about this stuff. But it's a lot of times those distractions take our eyes off the truth. Keep our eyes on the Lord. What's distracting us from keeping our eyes fixed on the Lord, doing what the Lord has called us to be doing? So, this time that we live in, it's a difficult time, but it's an opportunity time. We have an opportunity to share the truth of the gospel to people who are living in fear, who are worried about tomorrow, who don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But we have this opportunity to share the truth of the hope of the gospel. Because in Revelation, throughout the whole gospels, it's preparing us for what is yet to come. The church should be the light, full of hope and assurance, knowing this is what's going to be coming. The first three books of Revelation is, you know, even in Ezekiel, Matthew talks about what's going to be coming. Are we being prepared? Are we going to use this opportunity to share the truth of the gospel? So what type, whatever the type and whatever the level of difficulty we are right now, we have a divine given opportunity to be patient, to endure, to persevere, to continue in love, to follow and serve our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is this time of uncertainty and fear and perseverance is what is produced from what is needed in the church. The church, the body of Christ, should be a place where people come and want to know how they have hope, where they can find hope. Are we willing to share the hope that we have in Jesus Christ today? Are we willing to open our mouths and share, this is why I have hope? I have gone through difficulties. The Lord's always been faithful. I had some sickness and God healed me. I had, my marriage was on the rocks and we prayed and God miraculously healed our marriage. My kids were difficulty and God's been changing their hearts, or God has changed my heart to have a love for the lost. That's the, you know, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But what does Jesus say about that? Don't worry about tomorrow. Trust me, today. I will look after tomorrow. Jesus looks after tomorrow. He wants us to be prepared, but he looks after for tomorrow. Being prepared is having our eyes fixed on him. Lord, I'm going to keep my eyes on you, no matter what is happening. I'm not going to get caught up with all these other things that has distracted me. So how do we persevere? Well, we go through smaller trials. We start out with smaller trials. Then he builds our muscles to face more incredible trials. It's like when you work out. You don't go and lift the 200 pounds right off the hop, because you might hurt yourself. You build up, right? So how's your faith today? How are you persevering today? You ask the Lord, help me to persevere. Help me not to give up. Help me not to look at my situation. But Lord, I'm going to look to you. You're going to help me through the situation. I know you will. To keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the one who persevered on our behalf. We need to remember he did that for us. He endured the cross, despising the shame, Hebrews 12. This is persevering. For us, we can motivate and empower us to persevere for his glory and his purpose. So let's keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And the most incredible example of the one who persevered, Christ persevered as our example, fully God. He didn't have to go through it, but he did to redeem us. He had a plan. He wanted to redeem us so we could have. So we will not grow weary and lose heart so much. Like Jesus wants us to know him intimately. Philippians 1:12 says, "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the forbearance of the gospel." This is Paul speaking. What happened to him? But I want you to know, brethren, the things which happened to me actually turned out for the forbearance of the gospel, so that it became evident to the whole palace guard, to all the rest, that my chains are in Christ. And the most of the brethren in the Lord have become confident by my chains, or which are now much more bold to speak the word without fear. When we see somebody persevering, does that not encourage us to persevere? Paul's like he's in chains. And how it encouraged other people that looked to him. And seeing how he was persevering through all the difficulties that he went through. But yet he never stopped. His eyes were on the Lord. Through shipwrecks, through beatings, through whippings, through hunger, pain, nakedness, isolation. He finished the race. He persevered. What a great example of how he had his eyes on the Lord, and he was able to, and the Lord enabled him to persevere, to finish the race. And how he persevered, how that encouraged other people. Do you believe other people are watching you today? When we are in the world, a lot of times we'll say, do we have to say that we're believers? Not most of the time. They know that you're different. But they're watching you. A non-believer is watching you, how you walk, how you talk, and how you act, how you react. But how do our words match up to what we say who we are in Christ? Do we persevere? Are we living the way that we should be living? I know we're not perfect. We're going to fall. I know before I was a believer, I watched people who said they were professing Christians. And I was like, until the Lord got my heart, then I knew there was something different. I know we can't. But as dads and grandparents, uncles and aunts, the next generation is looking to you for how you live. Do you truly believe what the gospel is saying? Do you really take hold of what the word of God is saying? Do we really go to the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, through our difficulty, through everything? Do our kids want to know the Lord? It's a big thing on us. There's a great responsibility upon us to live a life that honors our Lord. Our struggles, our trials and struggles are preparing us for eternity, for heaven, a life of truly eternal gratitude for what Jesus has rescued us from. Second Corinthians 4:17-18, for our light affliction, it's amazing how the affliction that we go through today, sometimes we think it's just the hardest affliction ever. But he says, for our light affliction, which is but a moment. You look at the whole spectrum of eternity. If eternity from started right there to back over there, and our little dot is right here, that's just a moment of all eternity. The very moment. So it's preparing us for all eternity. This moment of tribulation, difficulty, it's just a moment. It might for a light affliction, but it's only a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. For while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. We don't look at what is seen, but we look at what is not seen. For the glory which is seen is temporary. What we see is temporary. It's just a moment, just a glimpse in our whole eternity. But the things which are not seen are eternal. We don't see heaven. We don't see being with the Lord. We know Jesus Christ. We're going to be with him for eternity. If we don't know him, we'll be eternally separated from him. So perseverance is one of those hinge traits. The hinge. Am I going to persevere? Or am I just going to give up? Lose heart? Do you guys want to persevere? Do we want to persevere? And on now, because we have to fight discouragement. We're in a battle. We have to fight discouragement. We have to fight how we are overwhelmed. We have to fight so many things. We have to learn how to implement the Word of God into our lives. We have to realize, Lord, I need to spend time with you. Time with the Lord. Intimate time with him. Take time throughout the day to be with him. It's how the only way we're going to persevere is by spending time with our Lord. He's the only one who's going to enable us to stand against what's happening. You'll see breakthroughs when you start to persevere. If there's an area that you need to persevere in, we can pray with you today to encourage you. I think all of us need at times encouragement to persevere, to keep fighting the good fight. Right? He wants us to persevere. He has a prize for you. The prize is Jesus Christ, who is the best prize ever. Can't wait till the day I meet him face to face. Everything be worth it. So Father, we thank you that you are working in our lives. Lord, that you're helping us. You're building character in our hearts, in our lives. And thank you, Lord, that as we trust you, and abide in you, to rely on you, and how you draw things out of us that are hindering us, that are tripping us up. Lord, help us to get rid of those things. As you reveal things in our lives that we need to get rid of, Lord, let us be willing to give wholeheartedly to you, to trust you, depend on you through whatever it is that we're going through. Help us learn not to be proudful or prideful, not asking for prayer, or getting involved into the body of Christ, to be encouraged, to be strengthened by your word and by fellowship. So Lord, I thank you that you are at work in our lives. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the one who changes us. You direct us. Thank you that you have sealed us. Thank you that you are a comforter. Lord, I thank you that you have given us all things. And help us, Lord, to take hold of what you have given us, to apply what you have given us. So, Lord, help us to see differently when we go out in the world that we would be looking for opportunities to share the truth of the gospel. But Lord, pray that you prepare those people's hearts to be able to receive it. Lord, help us to be compassionate and loving and to be real, authentic. Let us be authentic. In those relationships of people at work, Father, that we would have conversations of who you are. I thank you, Lord Jesus.
Please, we're going to finish with the song, but I encourage, if anybody needs prayer, please reach out, okay?